Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Have you always been 6'9"?
6'7".
Jesus.
No, I wasn't born 6'7".
That would have
That was
wrecked.
My next question.
That would have
You know what's so stupid, though? People think that the same way that they're like, were you always that size?
You're yeah. Right? I get that shit all the time. Like, so, like, were you always a dwarf? I'm like, no. I ate a magic bean, and some shit happened, man.
That's so funny.
But but people assume that with, like, even, like, when I hear people say that about Shaq, like, that dude must have just come out, like, 5'8". Out of the vagina.
I mean,
like,
I was. Do you not know anything about the human body? I was 11 pounds.
Whoa!
Yeah. Is that big? I don't know.
It's huge.
Okay, I was 8.
Dude,
so
you're 60 pounds.
Nice.
So 11. Think about that.
Yeah,
11 pounds, and most of it was weenus.
Yeah, buddy.
Wow.
The ween.
Could they see it in the? I almost said diaphragm in the sonogram.
Yeah, they knew I was a boy 1 month into the pregnancy.
When your doctor goes, wow, look at that cock in the waiting
like,
room.
Like, no joke.
Looking at a
sonogram. No joke, my mom told me that when I was born, one of the nurses commented on my ween size.
Shut the fuck
up. Swear to God. So, like, wow, this baby has a really big penis.
So, what's the protocol to that? Can you say that?
Because if mom, as a mom, you're like, so do you want to fuck my infant son? Like, what's happening
here? Because they were like
here?
Friends, so they were like, she was just commenting that she'd seen a lot of babies and had a huge ween.
I mean, I don't care if you're a nurse; it's still an awkward conversation to have. You're like, listen, I've seen a lot of baby penis,
right?
Yeah, first of all, that's a weird thing to say.
that is the king.
If
of
If you're
baby
not a
penises.
Doctor, I guess.
Yeah, it's way weirder for a doctor to say it. Because a nurse is just, you know,
sweet.
RN, casual. Yeah,
she comes and goes. The doctor's like there for really official business.
Yeah, because the doctor's official business.
Yeah.
The nurse is kind of like just a helpful woman.
It's like, hey, I'm just going to give you a shot.
Yeah.
Or maybe just rub your hand while you get a shot.
They're almost like all from Minnesota. Like, how you doing today? You want some cookies?
There you go.
They're so nice and inviting.
So inviting.
They would have
so
cookies.
Beautiful.
If nurses were like action figures, cookies would be their accessories.
That's why porn is so based on nurses and teachers, because they're just so feminine. Like,
oh,
every
wow.
guy has, like, fantasies about nurses and teachers.
Do they? Well, teachers for sure.
And nurses.
Yo, I think my
because
first...
they just take care of you, and you're like, you'll take care of my ween, too.
Yeah.
and help me on the spelling test.
Yeah, exactly.
My buddy Ralph Garman says that the reason why nurses are so hot and so great in bed, because you can never shock them.
Like, right, I can see that.
Like, and they're down for anything. Any bodily fluid, they've seen it. They've done it.
There's something
cool
kind of hot about everyone wearing the same outfit. It's almost like a cult.
Yeah.
Where there is no where everyone's the same. Like, everybody's wearing scrubs and there's like this anonymity to it. That's like kind of sexy.
That and if you could pull like if you look hot in scrubs, it's like holy shit.
And
you're pulling it
and
off.
Like people do. Like that's why all these medical dramas, like all these women just wear scrubs because they get so into it. And you can see it like dudes, like if I was wearing scrubs, you could see my sweet ween in them. Because I wouldn't wear undies.
I gotta say this about our guest Owen Benjamin, who's a killer guy. I'll say that first. But you're one of my favorite comics to watch because you have a great balance of silly and really smart. And
thanks,
I think
buddy.
Sometimes you don't. When I got to open for you in Kentucky or whatever that was when I got
Cincinnati,
to see
Cincinnati. But it was actually in Kentucky. We were both
that's
right.
Was it called the Newport
Funny Bone?
Newport
Funny
Bone.
Yeah.
You, I guess your hour and dude, there was so much shit you break down about your dog, the relation between a man and a dog, but more specifically, man, the differences between men and women. And then when we were sitting in the back in the green room watching some of these shows, and you start spitting out facts and statistics about like. And just the like the makeup of men and women and like dude it was really fucking astounding.
My parents were both college professors, so I was raised in that egghead world where there's a reason for everything,
right?
So I think
were they pushing info on you or just you were around it? So
it was just around
it.
I mean, you know, we didn't have a TV when I was a kid. It was just a piano and books, so that's why I play piano and read a lot and stuff.
Where's the funny bone come from?
I think just struggle being a big fat kid.
You were a fat kid too?
Oh yeah, wicked fat.
You and Ray.
Yeah, were you fat too?
Oh yeah, dude. Have we not like bonded over
this? That's why you have the hunger in you. Dude, that's true.
Dude, for
ugly
sure.
duckling syndrome.
Dude, so yeah, I went my things were fat kid during, and here's the thing, it was fat kid parents divorce, but they happened simultaneously. And I think the eating happened as a result of the no dad.
My dad's queenie. He's fruity. But the thing is, my parents have a great marriage. They're very loving people. I can't complain about that. Yeah. But in a small town environment, when your dad is like an opera singing fruitcake, like you get your ass kicked.
By the way,
was that
his name when he would come out on stage?
No, he'd just be like, oh, hi. Like, he's fruity as hell.
Not, really?
Yeah, still married to my mom. They love each other. Great marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is, but he is just the fruity. I think it's just his background. Like, he was always into acting and music and stuff, and he's a mm-hmm. public speech professor. Yeah. And I just think, you know, and his dad was like a coal miner, brother fixed motorcycles, and he was always around
oh,
his
shit.
Mom.
Oh, okay.
So I think
like
he just picks up the,
of his
yeah,
family.
He's
yeah.
just like that, like, they're like, how are you? He's like, cute as ever. And I know.
That's fucking adorable. Yeah. Man. And that's fun. Who doesn't
hilarious. Want- no,
dude,
hilarious.
That's, because think about it, man. A fruity, upbeat, positive dad like that versus the fucking down in the dumps, like, the game got him down or some shit. Like, there's more.
Yeah, you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, no, my dad would only be devastated at, like, the medal round of the figure skating. Like, he'd be like, Boitano had it.
Boitano
had
Yo, there's our hashtag for this episode.
Boitano
please,
had it.
Yeah, please look at, find Owen Benjamin on Twitter, at Owen Benjamin, right?
Yeah.
At Owen Benjamin. Hashtag Boitano had it.
I used to have a bit about being the only kid in the straight closet. Because my mom's 6'1", loves football, you know?
Jeez.
And
oh, wow.
I used to do a bit. One of the first bits I ever wrote when I was 19 was being like, you know, my dad wanted to take me to rent again. And I'm like, I want to play catch with mom. I'm not like the other boys, you know? And like, I used to do a whole thing about that. Because my dad tried to make me so artistic. And my mom right. made me like tough.
Are you sure that your mom isn't like secretly a lesbian and dad's
no,
like,
they're like
gay?
Very sexual.
Oh,
they, I don't
oh, really?
Know. Yeah, I mean, they've you always want, been very. They've been married for over 40 years, and they've always wow. been very affectionate to each other.
That's awesome, dude.
That, yeah.
I mean,
you root for that. You get to a certain age where you're like, I hope my parents are still fucking.
I think there's right? a difference.
I've not reached that age yet.
No, dude. Because everybody, you know, come on, man.
Well,
you want
I think
to
there's
be
a difference between gender and sexuality. Because I've met sure. dude, bro, gay guys, where they're like, dude, hey, bro, let me all see right. your dick. You know, it's like you don't have to be. Yeah. Like, there's a difference between being queenie and like. Don't get me wrong. I still, a spade's a spade. Like, if a guy's prancing around at a Coldplay concert with, like, a fanny pack, I'm like, that guy's
dude, that
gay.
Was one yeah, time, sure. and that was a fanny pack that was a gift from my dad, and I
yeah,
had to
everyone's
wear.
Fanny pack's a gift from his dad. We know what's in the fanny pack. Gay stuff.
Wait, hey, dude, stuff. You did a whole video about fanny packs.
I used to be obsessed with fanny packs.
I was just going
to
say, you can't knock
dude,
them
I did a fake commercial for April Fool's years ago. Where we put a giant fanny pack on the Statue of Liberty, like CGI, and I like reported that like that like vandals put a giant fanny pack on the Statue of Liberty, and like how so many silly. Tons of knickknacks it was capable of holding.
Wait, how? I want to know how the fanny pack became considered to be gay, because I look at it as this is a very practical item. Very
I've
practical.
Always said that. If you're actually...
Well, practical is a super gay word,
like,
by
people
the way.
Always say, I don't care what people think. Like, you hear that in L.A. a lot. Yeah, I don't right. care what anyone thinks. If you really don't care what anyone thinks, you'd rock a fanny pack.
Absolutely.
They're incredibly convenient.
They're wonderful.
They're very convenient.
Yeah.
But it also tells the world, I'll put a dick in my mouth.
Dude, you need somebody like Carson... Like, if TRL was still on and Carson Daly started rocking one, like, so, you need some sort of figure
right.
or even a fucking rapper at this point
John
to wear them.
I want John Hamm
if I, dude,
to rock
I,
a fanny
I
th- pack.
I think a crack dealer would be great with a fanny pack because you can put all your crack in it.
Sure.
All your crack and money.
And yeah, but what famous crack dealer out there is going to start advertising?
Flava Flav.
Jay-Z should have done it back in the day. Now he's too powerful and too... he went straight.
Yeah. Well, now
he's a businessman.
Yeah, now he's on the cover
well,
of Esquire.
Now he's a businessman.
Yo, put Beyonce's face on the fanny pack, man.
But back in the day, when Jay-Z was slinging, he should have had a fanny pack. Because he's one of those guys. He's a trendsetter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And listen, I love fanny packs because, A, they're very functional. B, they often come in fluorescent colors. And as a dwarf, when I'm crossing the street, I'm scared of shit. So I need some neon, okay? I need something to stop
dude,
me.
Dude, fanny packs are lifesavers for you guys.
Yeah, goddamn yeah. right
and, they another
are.
Reason I like fanny pack is because in England, a fanny means a pussy. Swear to God. So, like, when British people... When British people hear about fanny packs, they're like, it's like literally saying pussy pack. It's kind of like
wow.
when they say fags for cigarettes, how we all
right.
giggle.
Yeah.
They giggle
yeah.
when we say fanny packs.
I giggle, like, when you, I giggle when you say fanny. Like, I'm not that immature.
That's where you're at.
That's
not where
at.
I'm at.
Yeah, let me tell you, look, to get back to the when you're saying a spade's a spade and seeing a super flamboyant gay man. My two neighbors for 8 years when I lived over La Brea and Melrose were gay, are gay. And but I had no idea up until about 3 months into living there because they're like you say,
dude, bro, gay guys.
Yes, man. They're just very
blue collar gay,
dude. Very like, and just like, what's up, man? Yeah, what's up?
By the way, gay guys prefer those guys because
absolutely
because when you're gay, you like men, not fruitcakes. Right. Like a lot of my gay friends are like, I want to watch sports with like a guy and bang the guy. Yeah. Like, I don't want to like see a guy prance around being like, hi.
Yeah.
Because they're acting more feminine. It's actually ironic. Like, they're acting like women.
Yeah. It, like, I get pissed off when you see the hot lesbian, like the ridiculously hot lesbian.
Right.
And she's banging the lumberjack lesbian. And you're
right.
Like,
it's like, that's just a dude with no dick.
Yes.
It's literally a dude with no penis.
Exactly.
Like, if you like women, like a woman.
I'm not that far off from that category. Dude with no penis. But maybe, come
like,
on.
No, but they, see, they must like the idea of something still looking like a man, but the emotions maybe to not.
No, but
be
see, that's
as...
the thing. They're like emotionally male too. They're like, hey, bitch.
Yeah,
that's why
I've
Alan.
To a lot
that's
of
why
them.
Alan's so king because she's so like she's still beautiful even though she has that like lesbian thing going.
For sure,
she's still like a beautiful woman. So I can see that. But I'm talking about
you
the,
think
like,
she, you think Ellen's the man in that relationship.
I don't know. Probably, I mean, Porsche? Alan's a mogul, so it's kind of hard not to be. I mean,
right. Sure. It's like when you control the money. It's
I mean,
like,
she controls she's all
probably,
the money.
She's probably not bending over.
I don't know how that works. I really don't. I don't know if it's kind of like with guys where there's tops and bottoms. I have no idea. All I know is like,
well, that's what we're talking
Alan's
about.
The definition of someone who can look very lesbian, but also a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the like the truck stop lesbians.
Right.
It's like, you're just a dude with no penis.
Yeah, they had a lot of those on. Did you see Orange Is the New Black on Netflix?
No, I got to get into that. I'm gonna get into that.
Yeah, they had like that's like you think like all right, girls in prison, and there's like two of them that are like sweet, but then most of them got like tattoos and fat and wife beaters, and you're like,
right.
Okay,
yeah, okay. I just don't. If you like women, why that?
Yeah, there's other options.
I mean, I like banging dwarves and tall women, but I'm not strictly into dwarves, and then like go out and bang like a 5'2" Asian because I want to cheat. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, like you stick to it.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know what's
weird. Here's how I knew that, my neighbors were gay 3 months in. They're walking out. They would give me compliments on like a haircut or something like that. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's just
you
a
do
friendly-
have a great, you have great hair.
Thanks, so.
That doesn't mean they're gay. I've complimented your hair.
For sure. Well,
his hair's fantastic.
I'll do it right now. It's great looking hair.
Thanks, bro. But yeah, again, so that didn't give it away. But then one day I
start complimenting your pubes.
And that's when I go, hey, something's up.
Yeah.
No, they go, one of them is going out, and I go, where are you guys going? He goes, oh, I got to go get a colonoscopy. I go, oh, shit. I go, well, you got to stay healthy. And he goes, who says it's for health reasons?
I don't know.
There's a long, awkward pause, and I go, huh? He goes, right? And I go, what? And then he goes... Dude, and he just kind of gives me this look like, yeah.
Because he did it, like, because if one of your straight guys said that, there'd be a little bit of joke in the voice, like there'd be like a, huh?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? But he said it like, no, this is happening.
Yeah.
No, he said it this and then looked at you like, what's up?
That's exactly what I said.
You turned on by this?
Yeah.
You want to come watch?
What do you think?
It's been 3 months.
Yeah, and gay relationships are so, like, more than often open.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, gay couples have, like, hit on me before. They're just like, yeah, you want to? I'm like, no girl is down. Like, girls are so less likely to be down for that, unless it's South Florida. I feel like down there, everybody's insane. But women in general,
America's penis.
What's that?
Florida is America's penis.
It's our Korea.
Now, what?
It's just a weird peninsula.
Let me ask you this, though. So, when did you develop such a sharp point of view about women? Like, was it one relationship or was it a collection? I don't feel like you can have an astute observation until you go through as many, have enough relationships, right? Or at least enough perspective.
I've had a good amount of relationships, and I think because I have a good relationship with my mom, and I love my mom, and she didn't, like, fuck me over, I think I was less likely to just say they're crazy, and I put in the work to try and figure them out.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of dudes, it's so easy, and I've almost done it several times, but just been like, they're fucking insane.
Yeah.
But if you put in the work to think what makes them in, like what you believe to be crazy, and then you see they're not crazy, they just have a different, you know.
Well, first of all, we're all a little crazy.
Totally.
And Seal said that.
Yeah.
And Seal, you know, he fucked Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
So you got to take what he says.
It's a different type of crazy.
I trust a guy with half a face who fucks a supermodel.
See? Yeah, totally.
That's what I'm talking about.
I do.
Like, male crazy is just aggression.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, testosterone makes you dumb crazy,
yep.
Where it's like, I'm gonna fucking jack that dude in the face.
Yeah,
like that's like
just
our crazy
he bumped
women.
My shoulder.
Women are like, I'm gonna change my opinion 9 times in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different type of crazy.
Now, why is that? If you've done the research,
I think it's because I just think the fact that they make life and that their like attraction is to people that would be good dads. I'm not saying across the board, even women that don't want kids, I still think they're attracted to more fatherly characters, and sex to them is such a higher stakes.
Yeah.
18 years sure. versus just pump and roll. Like we pump, like just bang, yeah. you know, more visual. 0.7 hip to waist ratio. Women have so many different factors that go into that. Their attraction that mm-hmm. like, and I think a lot of times they act crazy to make sure you can handle pregnancy.
Well, so it's like, so, wow, so almost like a training.
Test. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, cause pregnancy is so nuts and babies are so nuts. Like they'll keep you awake. Babies are fucking irrational by nature for years.
Mm-hmm. So why don't they say that up front? Like,
I don't
hey.
Think they even know. I think right. that their like personality biology. Is just like, and women are the strong, are stronger than men in so many ways. It's like,
and smarter,
when you,
right?
Yeah. When you see a woman taking care of a child or like holding a family down, you're like, that's why it's all worth it. Like, you're fucking strong.
Yeah.
But when you're just dating them at first, they're just constantly testing you. It's like fucking the never-ending story. You know, it's like all these tests and tests. And, yeah, like, they'll
that,
just...
That kid stayed in that library by himself. He got through it, if that's what you're referring to.
I'm talking about, like, the mirror where you see yourself as oh, you yeah. truly are. And it, can yeah. you run past the fucking laser bolts and all that shit? And it's, like, literally, like... Analogy. It's yeah. true, though. They're always testing you to make sure that you're strong enough.
Valcor is when you're on is when they're on their period.
Yeah.
You can deal with that.
And then once you... And then once you get past all well, that, they're Valcor, fucking awesome.
Valcor yeah. does kind of look like a flying tampon if you think about it.
Yeah. Moral of the ancient one? The turtle?
Yeah, the turtle.
I'm allergic to you. Dude, I watched that.
That guy was freaky. Dude, when he sneezed?
Your turtle is Morgan
5,000 miles away.
He might have been Morgan Freeman. He was the.
I got freckles.
Yeah. I think it sounds like him.
Yeah, he's like a green Morgan Freeman.
Dude, how about the wolf when he was.
Oh, you mean the servant of the nothing?
Yeah.
Moral of, no, that was Gamork.
Yeah.
I'm Gamork.
Dude, he was the last
servant
stage.
Of the nothing.
He was the last stage.
Yeah, because if you have no dreams, you're easy to control, and who has control has the power.
Holy
and
shit.
He wants the fucking power. Dude, it shaped my childhood.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah. I just saw it as an incredible. I was like, dude, I need to read more and I want to fly. That's what
yeah,
I took
out of that.
Yeah,
you mean the kid with no friends that like was reading books? You don't think I fucking relate to that?
So I related it too, man.
Yeah, and then like all the bullies. You know how at the end they all go
knocked
into the
dumpster. What a fuck, dude! That was such I cried.
For me, I didn't throw them in the dumpster. I waited 15 years and I fucked all their wives. But that was a different. That was a whole different thing. I did
the never ending story.
Hurry,
dream,
and what you see is real.
Brad, can you pull that up? Brad, can you pull that up?
The never-ending story thing.
Yeah. We have, yo, by the way, one of the that musically that had to get you into tunes at that age too, huh? I mean, that movie just
we have like
fired
one. We have like one listener right now.
It fired me up.
We have like one nerd listener who's going. Finally, I've been listening to this podcast yeah. for a fucking year. They're just now sung. Breaking out. Never-ending story.
Yo, I love it. But then never-ending story too. If you read the books of the Neverending Story, a lot of crazy shit goes down because it's kind of the cycle of tyranny where that kid becomes the most powerful person in, you know, I forgot.
Atreyu.
No, not the Atreyu is like the fictional one, but the boy who names the girl in the end and has the one grain of sand.
Bastion.
Bastion becomes so powerful that he becomes evil. And you see the cycle of evil.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like Stalin started, you know, you see how it happens.
Yeah. Holy
and
shit.
that always blew my mind about that it's there's no good and bad. Yeah, there's it is.
Wow, God, you really just on a deep level, like a lot of layers.
Here we go.
Turn around, look at what you see. Dream a face.
There it is.
And what you see will change.
And then the chick comes in.
Let me breathe, you're everywhere.
It's about to break
give
out. One more round, then
some
break
shit
out.
As a kid. And 20 years later, he'll fuck your
never ending story. That's usually when I pull my ween out. That's when the ween gets shown.
Anybody else hard right now?
Holy shit.
I got a semi.
Yo, I have to show you this video I did for Funny or Die where I superimposed myself in the end of the movie. You know when Atreyu's there and she's like, and everything's shaking. She's like, And he comes in after
name
the journey.
Name us.
Yeah. Or it's before that. When he comes in, it's before everything shakes.
Right.
And so basically, I show him flying and everything through, and I had my long hair, and I wore like the vest like him. And
that's
my
awesome.
Makeup, and I look bloody, and I cut it back and forth, and they made it grainy. So she's like, Trey, why do you look so sad? And it cuts back to me. I go, why do I look so sad? That's a stupid fucking question. Well, I haven't eaten in 6 days.
Yeah.
I lost my horse in quicksand.
I didn't have enough hope.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And then she's like, and then I go, and guess what? The so-called nothing you keep talking about gave me something on my dick. And I start to like, and it pans down. I start to undo my pants, and she looks down because she's looking at his necklace in the movie. And then we cut back to the kid in the library, and he's like, ah!
Creative Adam Ray.
Dude, that's what he does.
Yo, that's
Adam's
wait.
Very creative and very prolific.
So what about women, though, at this point, do you now have, like, have you come to peace with because you've done the research? Like,
I've come to peace with the fact that a guy just has to work hard, provide a lot, and not be a dick. And then your chick is super cool to you.
Do you agree with all the stuff?
So you're traditionalist.
Yeah, totally.
But do you agree that all the when married men, I feel like on every talk show or whatever, when somebody says like, what do you say when the wife goes, oh, and he goes, well, that's usually what she wants to do. I just say, I agree. And they go, that's the right answer.
I totally disagree with that.
That's the right answer is you don't agree with that.
I think that there's times when you just have to agree with them if they're like going through some shit or whatever. But I think that you there's a balance. You can't just say because that's why married guys always complain that their wives don't blow them anymore and stuff. It's because they've become so weak.
Yeah,
they've stopped asking.
Yeah, they're just like whatever you want, babe.
Yeah,
no girl wants to suck that guy's dick.
No,
like the whatever you want, babe guy.
No,
whatever's right. Whatever.
No, you
gotta
come in and you demand it. You be like, hey, I haven't had a blowjob in a while. And
well, they should want to suck your dick. I would
right.
never marry someone that didn't want. I'm not even a big BJ guy. I'm more of a bang sesh guy. I mean, BJs are cool, and then I turned 13.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a finger blaster myself.
Jesus.
Yeah, finger. That's cool. I'm more of a rubber.
Yo, but
you rub.
But what?
It's about the rub.
Yeah, but you're right, because if you got to make. Do you think all women want that a little bit of a bad boy?
Well, I recently did a song that if you are with me in Seattle on New Year's, you'll hear, but it's called
I am.
It's called How to Love a Woman. And the basic thing is women like contradictory traits.
Okay.
They like, you know, sensitive and strong simultaneously. They want you to like provide a lot of money but still have free time. They want you to be gentle but fuck them super hard. They want you to be like a bad boy but super nice. It's all very opposite. Men don't like opposite traits. We like consistency. Women like, you know, someone who can chop wood and then play Bach. It's like very hard to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they like people that are, and the chorus is, to love a woman, you have to be two people at the same time. That's when you get when I get the big laugh.
Right.
But it's, and then every woman has to, like, and it's not a universal, nothing's universal. And by the way, I'm a traditionalist for myself, but not for others. Like if there's a woman that wants to be a high powered lawyer, God bless her. And there's a guy for her or not. But it's just not me. I've done that. I'm a workaholic myself, so
yeah,
that doesn't work. It's like two positive charges together. It just is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I just think that you have to know your role and just be a good teammate.
Yeah.
Like a quarterback, you don't have two quarterbacks. You have a quarterback and an offensive line. You don't, or you have to know: are you an offensive lineman or a quarterback? Like in comedy, I'm more of an offensive lineman. Like I'm a great cast member. I never really want to be like
the
star of something. I want to be like the star's best bro.
Right.
Because I'm good at like setting shit up. I'm good at being like a funny guy.
Yeah.
But that's just not me, and I'm just honest about
you don't want to be Peyton Manning. You want to be Chris Cooper right there on the offensive
line.
Yeah,
but how do you decipher that in the relationship? Like what if the person, the chick's like, yo, I want to be the quarterback. You're like, yeah, but like I'm kind of the better one.
You know that
situation.
I mean, it's such a gradual process to date somebody that you just see that coming and you just become friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think being
like,
friends
if I'm out having drinks with somebody and the girl's like, you know, I just want a guy to do what I say, and I want to, you know, I want to design a nuclear fucking submarine or whatever. I'm like, God bless you.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome, but that's not.
When you do it, we'll have a beer and talk about it.
Yeah, and also if a girl says she doesn't want kids, that's just I dated a girl once for, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years, who didn't want kids, and that was going to just wear away at us. That'll never work because that's so fundamental. You can like come to terms with shit, but not something like that. If you want kids and they don't want kids, it's never going to work.
Yeah,
sure.
Because you're just going to fucking fight about everything.
Yeah. My dad always told me that if you want to, that the main reasons that couples break up is because of money, religion, and sex. If you can agree on all three of those things and kids as well, and then you're good.
Totally.
Good. Yeah.
Like religion's something that I'd be okay with giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone was, you know, I've dated Jewish women, I've dated Muslim women, I've dated atheists, like whatever.
You're like the United Nations of cock.
Yeah, but like in that situation, I'm like, believe what you believe, and I'm not going to tell you wrong. I'm not going to argue with you about that.
Right.
To me, that's not a fundamental game changer. I can see how it is with some people, but you know, my family is both Irish Catholic and Czech Jew, and I was raised pretty much with nothing, but I still kind of believe in God. So, and my, from my perspective, it's like whatever you're down with, go for it. But
now,
the other shit.
There's an element of crazy that is starting to make me that's popping up in like news stories with women and like that show Snapped. Like if you watch,
I watch a lot of Snapped. You're most likely to be murdered by the person you sleep next to than anyone.
And
else.
And that's what I like. It's starting to make me like you're basically the whole process of
that's scary.
You're basically when you're dating somebody, you're basically saying I trust you not to kill me in my sleep. Like I mean you're trying to figure that out because like that story of the woman on their 8 days into their honeymoon pushed her husband off the cliff. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, no, I'm constantly asking my girlfriend if she's gonna murder me.
Oh, like that's making me not want to be gay, but it's making me question if I have it in me to get involved because like I mean you can't live your life in fear like that, but like why do you think that? I mean, that there was no signs. It's not like in the second date he could be like, "Hey, what's your favorite color?" Oh, and all. By the way, you're not going to fucking kill me someday, are you?
Right.
Like, that's not sexy.
I also think that the oxygen channel is kind of fucking ruining it for everybody.
Why is that?
Because I think it's kind of like showing those few times when the chick fucking slices the throat.
But women watch that though.
I know, and they love it.
Why?
Well, because
they all secretly, it's like our porn. It's like they all secretly, like we all want to be blown when we're delivering a pizza. They all secretly want to fucking murder her.
Oh, dude.
Because we'll never.
Before he gets the blowjob.
Yeah, but like our fantasy doesn't involve someone dead. And
right,
because
they always think that we're trying to fuck with them because we're not as good at communicating.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like if a girl loves you, she still kind of hates you a little bit.
For
like
sure.
Always will resent you. Women resent men because we're so simple, and it's just like they always think like, how can you not understand?
We
my
are
feelings?
So simple, and it's not that we don't understand. It's a simplicity in which like my ex, we would get in these fights, and I would go, you know, I'm sorry, and I knew that just saying sorry, let's move on. You can't do that because that's too simple.
No.
But I would go,
no.
I'm sorry, and I would actively give a nice little synopsis of what I did and how I'll do it better, just so I could give some attention to it. But maybe that was 5 minutes tops, and to me that was enough. I was like,
okay,
I go,
good.
Any
well,
other
this
questions?
Is the, this is the major
and then
difference.
She goes, wow, you don't get it.
Yeah,
five
no.
minutes is all. You're going to give to that problem.
It's insane. This is the major difference is men have a linear thought process and women are nonlinear. Like we'll get mad over something like, fuck, my porch is broken.
Right.
And then we're mad. But then
about
we're like,
the porch
oh,
being broken.
Oh, my buddy is a porch fixer. And then we're happy.
Right.
Women will be mad. And then even if the solution is presented to them, they still have afterburn.
Right.
Like it's like, oh, my true story. This is happening to me. I'm like, oh, my car's broken. I'm like, baby, I'll fix it right now. I'll pay for it if you can't afford it or whatever. And then they're like, why do you have to fix everything? Like no guy has ever been like, my porch is broken. Someone's like, let's fix it. It's like, why do you have to fix everything, Barry?
Because it fucking needs it.
Why do you have to fix everything?
No, like you'd be like, thanks, Barry. You're the fucking man.
You're the shit.
So this is the reason I don't think women are crazy.
And then you're like, when can we fix it? He goes, right now. I have the shit in my car.
And
you're
then
like,
you're
wow,
happy.
Done.
And then you're happy.
Yeah, you're done.
And it's like, but this is the thing about women, though. It's like they always say, why can't you just be here for me? And if you do that, they're usually happy. And it just feels so unnatural for men. But if you do it, it works. Like if you literally just try to relate to them and you're like, I've had a broken car. You know, it sucks. And they're like, yeah. And you just talk it out, then they're like, oh, you're the best. And then you can just fix it and move on. But they need, because I mean, for a million years, they just fucking picked berries and made cloth and shit. So they just like commiserating. They commiserate. They just like being like, yeah, it's been a fucking rough winter.
Sure. Whereas the guy.
The guy's in hunting parties.
Is out like by himself and he can't return until the mission is done.
Yeah, we're mission oriented. Oh, sweet. Right. We got a fucking elk. Let's bring it home.
Right.
The women are like, there's no end to theirs. Like, we're just like, there's the elk. Oh, Barry got it. Sweet. Let's take it home.
Sure.
If you don't get the elk, we're like, we're pissed off. We don't have the elk. Women are just constantly
picking
berries.
And then we come back. Well, where's the elk? I didn't fucking get it, all
right? Right. Yeah.
But I'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow.
Well, I guess the black guy could get the elk. Maybe you should fuck him with his big black dick.
What century is it?
I don't know. It's very culturally mixed. But for the record, my
she goes, wait, you can't get the elk tomorrow. We were supposed to pick berries tomorrow, right? And then he's like, well, you want me to provide? Yeah, but you should have done it today, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, and for the record, my chick is an engineer, so I am a traditionalist. I like smart. Like, I'm not into, like, fucking morons. But I just, like, I just don't think there can be, like two alphas in a relationship.
Have you ever broken up with a girl strictly based on like something she said that was dumb? Like some.
Oh
like,
yeah, I once dated a girl that was so fucking dumb. I thought she was joking and a genius. And all my friends would be like, dude, she's the dumbest girl in the world. And I'm like, no, you don't get it, dude. She's on a different level.
Do you take she's just putting it on.
Bro, one time someone was like, who's the vice president? And she goes, of the world? But that's how I react. I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
That's right, right,
yeah. Yeah, and all my friends are like, dude, she's not kidding.
She's a girl that goes, hey, what's Hitler's last name?
She'd be like, where's Hitler? Is that a club? Like, it wasn't even last name.
Holocaust. Can we get in? That's right. In Vegas,
oh,
right?
Dude.
Don't you know you want to come to Club Hitler? It is ladies' night on Tuesday, but you must be alien.
It's like asking her, where's Canada? Well, it can't be north of us because that's, you know, that's British Columbia.
Dude, it was rough. Like, there was a, she spelled pizza with a T. And I'm
what?
And I'm not.
Wait.
P-E-T-Z-A?
Where's a the T? And I remember all my friends were like.
Like. Pete, the name Pete, and then like P-E-T-E-Z-A?
P-I-T-Z-A. And I just kept telling my friends, I was like, but it sounds like pizza. And they're like, dude, you can't defend that. And eventually I was like,
that's
dude,
an icebreaker.
Yeah, because I thought she was like, I thought she was like a comedy genius. And it turned out, because she'd be like, I'm like, what do you want to do tonight? She'd be like, pie. Let's have pie. And I'm like, you're so simple and brilliant. And she's just like a moron.
So you thought you were like dating Nell?
I swear to God, I thought I was dating like someone on a different level, like the fucking Dalai Lama. Wow. Where it's like, oh, you can just see the truth. All we should have is pie. And in the end of the day, I'm like, you're, Jesus. Yeah. How she's a nice girl. Like, this is years ago. Okay. But I mean,
yeah, but how
God
long did it take
her.
You to figure it out?
It's like 4 months.
Like how many dumb statements did you have to hear?
Hundreds. And also, I was attracted to her. So,
yeah, of course, see,
that was I could look past a lot of shit.
And that's, I mean, that's
it's the same with guys. With
where does that come from in the dude? Where we will see? Because I've heard guys be like, God, man, I got to get out of this shit. She treats me like shit. He's like, I'm like, well, then why are you in it? He's like, no, the sex is incredible.
Yeah, dude. Literally, it's the same. But for women, it's money. Like my friends that are like crazy rich, like I don't relate to their fucking advice on women. They're like. Just get every girl you like, put them in a hot tub, and see which one you like the best. I'm like, you're worth $1 billion. Like,
so
I don't
you
relate
do
to
that.
That.
You can, like, yeah, you're
it's like
your
hot
friends.
Girls and being crazy. Like, I think Chelsea Peretti might have that joke about getting advice from her, like, super hot friends. I don't know if it's Chelsea. It's a very funny female comic. I can't. But it's the same type of thing where if a girl's hot enough, she can be a fucking lunatic.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, they just don't have. And it's the same with guys with cash. Like, if a guy's like. Worth $1 billion, like they can fucking be insane.
Yeah, women
and get away with a lot more.
Oh yeah, they're constantly they'll get caught cheating, and the girl's like, yeah, but he's just trying. Is like if you're a fucking janitor, I've been a janitor, and you get caught cheating, you'll
it's
never over. Hear from that girl again.
Right, it's
but
done.
A janitor where?
Roosevelt Hotel before it was cool.
I was hoping you were going to say the Muppet Show, but
no, I used to be a I was a busboy out here too.
What?
Oh yeah.
Oh, so you've done the hell gigs,
dude. So yeah. So before you starred in House Bunny.
Even in House Bunny, I was still waiting tables.
Dude, all right.
You only make like $3,000 a week, and then you're taxed to fucking hell.
Right. And you got to give 10% to a manager, 10% to an
agent.
Oh,
yeah. And then the government takes half to shut down.
So here's your $300 for being in a movie.
Wait, no, I just bought a brand new Toyota.
Wait. So before Punk'd, the Tonight Show, your hour special, Feel My Heat, right?
Feel my heat.
No,
High five till it hurts.
High five till it hurts.
I was going to call it Feel My Heat.
You told me you were going to call it that. That's why I was
But it seemed too, my manager said I was too sexually aggressive. But I was like, have you met me? That's my thing.
Also, that's like a great line in one of your bits.
Feel my heat.
Yeah.
But High five till it hurts is just very positive. I just wanted to break it. That's why I like both of you guys. You guys are very positive comics.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I'm just so sick of this fucking negativity. Like how can we make a horrible tragedy a pun? Like I fucking hate it, dude.
Yeah.
What is it? So, do you think it's like that race to Twitter? So it's like when some like crazy tragic event happens, everyone's like, "All right, how can I make a joke out of bad?" It's
oh
like,
yeah.
Just take a moment.
Yeah.
And
just don't be cool today. Just don't be cool today.
Yeah.
And I like there's so many comics that just it's just so morbid and they're funny, but it's like, dude, life doesn't fucking suck, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Well, yeah.
Take a moment to recognize humanity and some of the great stuff instead of just having to.
It's like self-hate comedy versus feel-good comedy. And the self-hate guys will get fucking massive audiences, but it's typically people with not a lot to do in their life. Like, I was touring recently and I was it's like in different cities, you can see a Breaking Bad city versus a Big Bang Theory city.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm more Big Bang Theory. Where sure. And I love Breaking Bad. I've seen every episode. But Breaking Bad fans typically don't work as much, and they have income, and mm-hmm. they're white. Mm-hmm. And fucking, they're just like, they're looking for more stress in their life.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I want to see someone with lung cancer ruining his life with meth.
Because I have no problems.
Right. But if you go to places where that's how their dad died, they're not fucking watching Breaking Bad. They're watching, you know, and it's like, people don't realize, you know, they'll see Breaking Bad and be like, oh, it's the most popular show. It's not even the most popular show on that channel this year.
Walking Dead is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, Big Bang Theory triples it.
Mm-hmm.
Triples it.
And,
and everyone's like, oh, it's fucking, it's broad. Yeah, broad. Life is fucking broad.
Yeah. Yeah. But
and broad's also hard, by the way.
Because I get shit on all the time because I love How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
But I watch it, and I'm able to turn my brain off and not think about like all the shit that's happening. I just go, ah, yes. Oh, where's the mom? She's on a train. Get to the train.
Yeah.
Like, dude, why?
Because you work hard and you have to fucking chill out.
Dude, right. You know, when I when my only multicam show was According to Jim. Right. That was my first job.
God, awesome. For those of you on the About Last Night drinking game,
drink five every time I mention According to Jim. Yo, but no, but the power of that of the multicam that I didn't even know. I mean, obviously, I love Friends and Seinfeld, but like being around it and seeing the people live there because mm-hmm. they were taped live, and then afterwards, and then I found out it had been on 8 seasons. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Dude,
like,
Sullivan and Son gets more ratings.
Yeah,
than,
you guys are up there now.
Yeah, we get 2.5 million an episode around our third season, and it's like I don't get recognized in L.A. I get recognized in the flyover states,
there
but not here. No one gives a shit here because everyone's got a lot of free time.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I never wanted to be famous. I just wanted cash. I just wanted to get respect.
Wait, so when you were a busboy and a janitor, that was when you first got out here?
Yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I worked in the restaurant industry for 5 years. And, I put in my time.
How was the busboy job?
It was awesome. They wouldn't promote me, though, because I wouldn't iron my apron.
It's always something petty like that.
Yeah, they're like, iron your apron. I'm like, no, dude, I'm a fucking busboy. That's the whole point.
Right.
Like if I wanted to iron shit, I wouldn't be a busboy.
But that just shows you that no matter where humans are dropped, we'll find the drama in it and we'll take it way too seriously.
Oh, yeah. It's human nature.
Like you said, it's a busboy. No one has ever been like, oh, my God, do you want to go to Barney's Beanery? No, they're busboy's aprons.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, I was at a Japanese restaurant where like the Japanese people don't tip at all.
Oh, because
they always
culture.
Act like someone's tickling their ween. They're like, they have a ween tickle voice. Don't get me wrong. I love the Japanese culture. You guys are great and everything. But you guys literally giggle like you're having your balls tickled all the time.
They do. Oh, they
do. It's insane. It's like fucking insane.
That's a great
and they don't
call,
tip. Like they'll palm you a one on $1,000 tab and be like, oh, thank you. I'm like, buddy, this is crazy. Like you work for fucking Sony.
Right. At that point, you were like, I'll take a ball tickle instead of that single one.
That's when I started stealing.
For real?
Stealing food, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, steal from your work?
I stole food when I worked at Albertsons, the grocery store in high school.
You have to.
I stole deodorant and toothpaste.
If you don't, you're a dickhead.
I stole beer, deodorant, and toothpaste.
Wow.
When I was super broke, there'd be times when I'd literally like... it sounds too bad. There was a couple times when I was so broke, I mm-hmm. would hook up with a girl and like take her toothpaste. I know, that's so bad.
I'm fucking ashamed. I'm fucking you for the crest.
Dude, you were like the fucking Aladdin of the dental world.
Yeah, I'm not proud of that. That makes me a bad person.
No, I've made
up for it. I've adopted three fucking dogs.
Yeah, dude, you're fine.
I've saved lives.
Sometimes your tartar gets out of control.
Yeah.
And
I would just steal very basic things.
Wait a minute. How come you don't talk about these professions in your act?
I have. I talked about getting fired as a janitor because I was sleeping, but it's because I brought a pillow, so it was premeditated. Like that's in my first special. No big deal.
My first one. Special. Yo, how was that doing an hour special?
Awesome.
Like, let's talk about like you've been on here 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like you, it's got to be even more rewarding for you to pile up the to be on a hit show right now and do your special and to be touring the country and knowing where you came from, right? Like the people that don't ever have to go through the jobs and they're out there and we won't name names, but there's people who've never had to work a day in their life.
Right.
They've still worked hard, but they still haven't had to. Really, like, struggle, right?
Yeah, well, financially, they never had to struggle.
And that's a mm-hmm. big thing.
Yeah, and I don't diss rich kids when they work their ass off.
Yep.
Because it's a culture. You know, it's all a culture. Yep. I diss the rich kids that had shit handed to them.
Right.
I think it's fucking, I think it's a real pussy move.
Well, because, in I bring this up as an example, you see an actor like Colin Hanks, who's well respected and who does great work, even though his dad's Tom Hanks, then you see Jaden Smith and everyone hates that fucker.
Totally. Like Colin, I did House Bunny with him. Great guy.
Right.
He's also talented.
Yeah. Another thing about those kind of guys is if their parents didn't substitute money for love, they usually end up just like us.
Yeah.
You know, like Colin clearly had a great upbringing. He's very respectful, very smart, very good guy.
Sure. And, you know, Tom could have put him in everything. So, like, he hasn't been.
And it's like, if my dad was Tom Hanks, I hope he'd put me in a few things or help me out. It's just a different situation when you have a Jaden Smith where obviously he's just a little fucking dickhead. And it's like his money and power was replaced by affection from his parents, his super narcissistic parents.
Right.
Tom Hanks is clearly just like a good guy.
Yeah.
He just works his ass off. I mean, Jada Pinkett Smith is a fucking lunatic. Like, that woman, I mean, you can just see it in her eyes that she has no concept of reality, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think.
And that's that kid's mom.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, dude.
I think.
Like, he tweeted that no one should go to get an education. Like, they're all Scientologists.
Yeah, yeah, that school fucks you up or something.
Yeah, school fucks up, like, you're pure deep.
What?
Like, I swear to God, these people are crazy.
Yeah, Jaden Smith, 17 years old, I think he tweeted something along the lines of, if babies could talk, they could teach us everything.
Because, holy shit.
Because
what
they're
so
pure.
In that First of all, let me just say, I was going as slutty Jaden Smith for Halloween. Not happening anymore.
So funny.
Not happening anymore.
I love it.
Why would... If babies could talk... Dude, that is...
Right.
I respect Will Smith, because the dude...
For sure, dude.
I mean, what he's accomplished is insane.
He made Summertime, for God's sakes. He went from Summertime...
He also worked his ass off.
I don't think he's the problem in that family. No, I think it's the mom.
I bet you're... I
think Will Smith is a super alpha, awesome, legendary male guy.
Sure.
Have you seen that fucking movie that Jade Smith? Jada Pinkett. Yeah. About, like,
Set
she's all that, or she's the fucking best. It's, like, literally a movie called, like, She's the Best or something. When it's, like, all the dudes trying to get at her, and she's like, fuck you, I'm the best.
Maybe that's what it's called, fuck you, I'm the best.
Or that nurse thing that she did, where all the trailers were like, the doctors don't know anything, but this hardcore, strong women will fucking do what she wants, because she's nurse fucking bitch-faced.
It wasn't a movie.
Yeah.
It was a TV show.
An all-new
horrifying. And like, Will clearly is like a sweet man, works hard, great movie star, but I just feel like he's been beaten down by that woman, and that's why Jaden's such a fucking train wreck.
It really starts with that. Do you want to have kids?
Totally, yeah.
You'd be a dope dad.
It was called Hawthorne.
Hawthorne, that's it.
Yeah.
Every trailer is like, that doctor doesn't know shit. I'm a strong woman from the streets. Take penicillin and shut your fucking mouth. And then the patient would be like, I would have died if it wasn't for you, Jada Pinkett Smith. Like, full name or some sort. As a busboy, I wouldn't take that role out of embarrassment. If someone was like, no, you're the no-nonsense fucking powerful black woman that, like, tells all these medical doctors to go fuck themselves because you know more than the doctors.
Is she, like, female House?
No, because House went to medical school.
Yeah, House is a genius.
She didn't go to school because she doesn't believe in it.
Oh, she's fucking straight up.
Was her character didn't go to school because of her Scientology beliefs?
I only saw the previews in my defense, but I remember watching it and throwing shit against the wall, being like, are you fucking kidding me?
Here is the plot of the show Hawthorne.
Okay.
Christina Hawthorne is introduced as chief nursing officer heading a group of nurses at Richmond Trinity Hospital in Richmond, Virginia. All right.
Right.
Hospital in Richmond.
And for the record, I'm not against Scientologists, everybody. I'm sure there's some really cool ones out there. It's just another belief system.
Like who?
It's all good.
Like who?
Please don't come after
Beck.
Me.
Nice.
Is Beck a Scientologist?
Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, well, cool. Yeah,
there's a couple good ones. Anyway, go ahead.
She is very passionate about her work and always advocates for her patients and her staff, even when it threatens her job. Richmond Trinity Hospital later closes, and the staff is moved to James River Hospital.
That's the black one.
That's the black hospital.
For sure.
That's when shit goes down.
Yeah.
That's when she's got to go back to the streets. while assimilating to the new work atmosphere, she must also deal with a new relationship that she has formed with Dr. Tom Wakefield, the chief of surgery. Dr. Wakefield wants commitment, and she is still unsure.
No, because I fucking hate those shows where the girl won't commit, and the guy, right. like chief of surgery wants to date this fucking woman.
Right. And she's like, no, I'm not ready. Time. I'm not ready for a commitment.
I'm a 41-year-old nurse who doesn't want to date you. It's just not set in reality. It gives the world the wrong impression of everything. I hate it. She's not ready for commitment.
There's certain TV shows like
that. Are
you
fucking
kidding
me? Yeah,
exactly. What woman does want to... It's like... As guys, that would be the equivalent of like the playmate of the year who has a Harvard business degree wants to fuck a guy. Just fuck, not even date.
Right.
Fuck a guy. And the guy's like, you know what? I'm wrapped up in my relationship right now. I can't do this.
Yeah,
you're like, no.
Oh, totally.
You're hitting that.
Completely insane.
Yeah.
Like a 21-year-old girl, I get. Like, sure. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I don't want a relationship right now. I'm fucking, you know, right. I'm watching, you know, I'm
having fun.
I'm partying.
Good.
But as soon as like, when you see a 40-year-old nurse
mm-hmm.
who, like, if she doesn't want a relationship, that means she either has an insane issues with men, mm-hmm. the guy she doesn't actually like, and I'm guaranteeing this fucking show, the guy's the man.
Sure.
And it's like, no, I'm not ready. It's like, then you're fucking broken. You're a broken toy in the toy chest, and no one's going to play with you anymore.
The chief of surgery was played by actor Michael Vartran.
Oh, a 10, by the way.
Yeah, who's
literally a
10
perfect
guy.
Man.
He's just like...
I'd date that fucking guy.
Well, guess who I'm going as? Slutty Michael Vartan.
Dude, Michael Vartan is the man.
He's a gorgeous human being.
Yeah. Literally perfect.
Chief of surgery, smart as hell, rich as fuck.
And she's not ready, though.
She's not ready.
Because she's Hawthorne. She's going to tell him how to do his fucking job. Because he went to post-grad for 12 fucking years, accumulated $300,000 in debt, one of the smartest... people around, but no, she's from the fucking streets.
She knows how it is.
God, this shit is horrible. and that's Jaden Smith's mom,
right? That's you.
He'll rebel though. Once he hits like 18, maybe he'll fucking or
how
they will hit a time where he'll go like, Jesus, you're fucking nuts, mom. Because all kids eventually are just like, or maybe he's just so in that world where he thinks she's.
If he wanted to rebel in that family, he'd have to like become normal.
He'd become a good dude.
Yeah,
for him to rebel, he'd have to become a busboy.
How come none of those kids that when they're like, I'm going to go actually back to college and get a degree, like why don't some of those kids go, I'm going to go work a normal job like I didn't grow up in Billions?
Right.
Like I didn't grow up in the Pursuit of Happiness home.
Yeah, or just like just be not a dick.
Right.
Like I know so many rich dudes that were raised crazy rich who are not at all dickheads.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just this weird entitlement where it's like you just ruin your kids when you're like that.
Chris Sabo?
I don't know Chris Sabo.
He was a Cincinnati Reds third baseman. I was just throwing out a random sports name.
Good for you, bud.
To say that he was a rich kid who came out normal.
There's a lot of them. There's nothing wrong with being a rich kid. No, it's also
because you have no control over that.
Right. It's classism to not like rich people. I've always been against that. When people are like, the fucking 1%, you can't get mad at a percentile. That's insane.
Sure. And, you can't get mad at someone because their dad worked hard.
Or that they work hard. Like, being wealthy, it's like, that's not bad. That's why this country's fucked, is because people hate wealthy people because they work hard.
Yeah. Did Sandler grow up in a wealthy family, or did he make all this shit?
Probably upper middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, I just don't think it matters. I think that, like... I know a lot of comics are raised really, really rich that are really good, hardworking guys, and they have great relationships with their dads.
Well, I mean, look at a guy like Chris D'Elia.
Perfect example.
Chris D'Elia.
Great guy. Great dad.
His dad's a director, producer?
Everything. Executive producer. Huge.
Some of the biggest shows ever.
And I've never seen anyone work harder than that guy.
Dude,
that
totally.
Dude's doing two vines a day. He's doing stand-up every night. He didn't use his dad for shit.
All right, well, first of all, I love that you said he works really hard. He does two vines a day.
Dude, the dude took over the fucking
some
vine.
Like, some like coal miner's like, what?
Yeah, he's also
it's kind of hard to commit to hashtags. My grandfather was a coal miner. It's not that hard just to fucking check in, go down a hole. To do two vines a day takes commitment. All you have to do is dig if you're a coal miner. My grandfather had 7 fucking fingers. I know Jaden Smith still, you know, has troubles, but he's an immigrant, 7-finger coal miner. It's not that hard. You check in, you fucking dig, you die young.
But he does. He's been doing stand-up.
No, but D'Elia is like, D'Elia had his dad direct his hour special. Like, clearly they have a great relationship, and there's nothing wrong with having a successful family.
Yep,
exactly.
Let me ask you this real quick. I've gotten to say that I've opened for both of you guys, Brad Williams and Owen Benjamin, But you get to say you've opened for Fallon and Swartz, and you got to really quickly talk about
Vince
that.
Vaughn.
That's David bananas. Tell. But Fallon, and what was your first taste of the road or what?
Well, I was touring with Nick Swartzen for years before mm-hmm. that, probably 04 to 08, just pretty consistently.
When he was doing stand up, like when
a
he
lot.
Was,
yeah.
When that was like the only thing he was
yeah,
doing.
And that's where I learned most of my shit was from Swartzen because he's just so likable and funny. Yeah. So that was great that I could do real crowds at it. Because it's easy to become that edgy dick. It could have happened to me if I was just an open mic guy for too long because you have to mm-hmm. play to the back of the room
right.
where you have to say crazy shit. But fortunately, Swartzen took me to all these like working class cities.
How
so
quick
I,
did he pluck you to start going out? Because
early. I was 23 or 24.
How long have you been doing comedy at that point?
Since I was 20. My first set was opening for Kevin Hart in college.
No shit.
First set, yeah.
Wow.
And he wasn't anything at the time. He was funny. He was on Undeclared.
He was a guy doing colleges.
Yeah, he's a college act. And now, I mean, he's such a good dude. And he like that's a guy that just exploded. I mean, he can open a feature movie with just him talking.
Yeah, isn't that fucking nuts?
Fucking legendary. Oh, and he was really nice to me, and that really gave me the itch to do stand up.
Dude, it has a big impact on you. Those guys that you work with that you're like looking up at. Even if he wasn't a big deal at the time, you're you're doing well.
Well, let's be honest. Owen Benjamin never looked up at Kevin Hart.
I did emotionally.
Just not physically. Yeah. Because that dude's like an honorary midget.
He's pretty small, yeah.
Like, we try to claim him as
you can
one of
claim
our own.
A lot of. There's a lot of dudes that are pretty small in this entertainment world.
Yeah, we got like Seth Green, David Spade, Kevin Hart.
There's a lot. Tom Cruise is pretty small.
Yeah, you met him?
Yeah.
What?
Nice.
I've heard he's incredible.
Very nice. That's why I don't want to knock Scientology because there's a lot of good Scientologist people.
How did you meet Tom Cruise?
He was just at Sandler's holiday party, and I just said hi, and I was a fan.
I've heard those parties are some of the craziest things to
attend. Insane. You're watching literally the biggest stars you've ever seen just like eating chicken wings and bowling.
Sandler has a bowling alley in his house?
Or no, he rents out a bowling alley ice rink, mm-hmm. and it's just such an – like that's the beauty of Sandler. He's a great equalizer. Like he can make everyone on the same – just have like normal American fun.
He's got his crew there, but he's got Nicole Kidman there just shooting.
Yeah, and everyone's equal. Right. That's what everyone's drawn to, you know? And like he's just singing covers, like literally singing with a band, just like covers like U2 and shit.
Wow.
And Sandler literally will say hi to me, who's nothing, mm-hmm. in the same tone as, you know, Jim Carrey right next to it. Like he's just the
That's
mayor of the world.
Was
That's
that a huge...
Vince is the same way. Vince is just, he sees people for like, who they are personally, not what they can get for him. And that's why those guys are so untouchable.
But they've always been like that, right?
Always been like that.
Now because they don't have to...
Yeah, Sandler and Vaughn both are known as those type of guys that have just always been good to their people, and that's why their people are so loyal to them. Like, the Sandler crew was with him when he was singing to a fucking... you know, a can of soda in New York when he was 20, you know, his guitar.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, and some people knock that. And it's like, why, if you have so much success, why wouldn't you want to put all your friends in
Well, people
in
knock anything. People are dicks.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you grow up on Sandler, too? So, I mean,
obsessed.
I can't imagine what that was like when you not only met him, but then you're like, in a
movie. Oh, yeah. Just meeting him was insane.
Yeah, one of my funniest childhood memories was hearing The Goat for the first time.
Oh, dude, Medium Pace, the song about getting his dick jerked, changed my whole life. Because I remember my dad sang opera.
Medium Pace.
Oh, yeah. Spit on your hand and stroke my cock at a medium pace. Like, love my balls and because I remember, like, I was so good at the piano from such a young age mm-hmm. to the point where I started thinking, like, people who took it seriously were, like, dicks. Like, when people would be like, your hair is so soft. And every guy secretly just wants in. They want to fuck, like, the girl they're singing about. And Sandler just cut to the chase and would make it funny. He'd sing about his dick because that's what guys really want to do. And guys like will lie and be like, your skin makes me cry. It's like her skin does not make you cry. The thought of fucking launching a nut on her tits makes you cry. And only comedians are honest enough to fucking say that.
Sandler's kind of the first guy to do that, right?
Yeah, mind-blowing. The dude mm-hmm. was a TV star, platinum-selling musician, and movie star.
Now,
it's just like Craig, and it was his honesty that did it.
Yeah. People liked him. He was so universally likable.
Now, Owen, you just hinted at something that I follow you on Twitter, and you got a lot of heat recently, like a lot of fucking haters, because you said like either Radiohead sucks or what band did you say sucks?
Well, I just like to see
like, flipped out.
This is the thing. I get so pissed off at people who just don't say their opinion. They mm-hmm. just say what everyone else thinks. Like, you know, Breaking Bad is one of my favorite shows.
Sure.
For a while, but I just hated seeing its growth because everyone was telling them it was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like all these fucking anorexic models being like, oh, I can't wait to see another Breaking Bad. It's like, you know, you don't give a shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then over time, I've seen, like, I used to make fun of Nickelback when they were cool.
Right.
And everyone hated me for it. Like, way back when Nickelback was on the radio all the time, I made fun of them in a video called Nickelback Rant. And it got hundreds of thousands of hits. Mm-hmm. And people were like, you should fucking die. You're the worst. Go to hell. And I was knocking them when it wasn't cool to. And now it's like, it's a given punchline
right.
to say Nickelback.
Yeah,
so,
if you type Nickelback into Google, I'm pretty sure it autocorrects sucks a bag of dicks.
Yeah, literally. And now it was the same with Twilight. I made fun of Twilight right when it came out. After
sure.
I saw it. And now it's cool. And then it became cool to make fun of Twilight. And I'm not a bully. I don't like to make fun of shit that it's not. Like, that's why I made fun of Jaden Smith. The dude's a huge star.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to make fun of people down on their luck because
right.
then you're
sure.
a bully.
Yeah.
So it's like, I started, and then I realized that Radiohead is overrated. It's a fact that, dude, his best song is Creep.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I've listened, I know all their songs, I know everything, and the dude's just, ah, yeah. Like, it's so abstract and weird,
mm-hmm.
and it just became so fucking cool to just like that shit. And I think that, same with David Bowie, the dude has a horrible singing voice.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
A lot of style, but you listen to Under Pressure, Freddie Mercury just sings him out of the water.
Yeah,
and it's
he
like,
kills him in that one.
David Bowie killed it in Labyrinth, though.
Yeah, because you could see his dick in his pants.
Touche.
I'm telling you right now, the dude can't. Both you guys, without any singing training, can sing better than Tommy York or whatever the fuck his name is. And
come and give it all I can. It's
like crazy.
Sometimes things are just so incredibly different that everyone is afraid to say that they suck because they don't want to be like, they want to be, oh no, I can think at a higher level than you, so this incredibly different crazy thing is wonderful. No, it sucks.
Yeah, and just be honest with it. It's the same with there was some huge fuck. I already deleted it. I can't remember. There's some like huge left wing. Mm-hmm. I also do it with left wingers. I'm personally fairly liberal as a person, but
sure.
I like to see Twitter explode because they're such close minded fucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like people would be like, the mass media is corporate run, like money hungry, fucking all this shit. It was some like very famous guy recently tweeted that, and I just tweeted him back. You just expressed this on mass media. Like Twitter is a mass media.
It is.
Like they let you say that, so you're wrong. Like,
yeah.
It's so cool to like hate this or not hate that, and I just think that way of thinking is just awful. I think that's not to bring up a sore subject, but that's what got 6 million Jews killed.
Wow, there were wow.
Yeah,
well, that
right.
came,
you're
that
exactly
came all
right.
the way around.
No, but seriously, I know that sounds like a dick thing to say. But
you know,
like,
though, you know what's funny
if
though?
Someone had just been like, Hitler's obviously wrong. Like yeah. no one did that. No
you're
one's
right.
just like, this is obviously a bad
no,
call.
You're right.
Sure.
You're right. You're right. You're right. That, I mean, yeah.
So what you're saying is Jaden Smith wants to kill 6 million Jews.
Whoa.
That has not been quoted.
That's not been. Jesus. That's how rumors get started. Specials get pulled.
I was a World
Jane
War II
Smith
history major for that reason. I was
okay.
like, why? How could people? It wasn't that Hitler did it. It was that everyone else was okay. Because there's crazy people in every society. It's like,
yeah.
how did they get
oh,
power?
Oh, if there was even a group of, who knows, 50 people that were just like, yo. Like somebody really trying to protest what was going on, but it just didn't happen.
Dude, everywhere has Hitlers. There's Hitlers in L.A. right now. There's Hitlers everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a percentage of the population that are just born psychopaths.
Yeah.
But how does a country get behind that guy?
Yeah.
And I think I've always been obsessed with that, just to follow the leader mentality that leads people to such dark places. And I think I'm a comedian, so I can't really talk about that shit. Right. So I prefer to talk about Nickelback. And Radiohead, because it's almost like a little piece of that mentality of like, it's cool to do this, it's not cool to do that. And I like to kind of push those buttons.
Yeah.
And I still kind of like Radiohead. I just like to see hipsters fucking explode. Because the fact is, Chad Kroeger and Nickelback has a better singing voice than Tom York. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Any musician would back that up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, it's just so easy to hate. It's just.
Do you think Radiohead fans, like, because to me, some of the greatest singers of all time, Michael Jackson, Alanis Morissette, Phil Collins.
I agree with all those.
Yeah. Do you think Radiohead fans hate all three of those?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, which doesn't
Phil make Collins
sense.
Is awesome.
Phil Collins might be one of the fucking dopest.
And you could tell he's such a British dickhead.
Of course.
He must be so awesome
dude,
to drink with.
Oh, he's probably the best. And
I would do shots with that guy all night and just be dicks together.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, any singer that plays the drums while he's singing is a fucking dick. and he loves it. He loves being a dickhead.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He enjoys it. It's so great that you bring up, like, who you want to have a beer with, because I would say that when a comic walks in and to the Hollywood Improv and they see either you or Swartz at the bar, they know it's a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always give off that. Have you always been, I feel like you have been from the get-go, just a guy that's like, I want to have a good time. I'm going to give everybody an equal shot, like as far as like interacting with me. And you're just like, you don't want any fucking trouble. And you just always give, you're a big benefit of the doubt giver, which I feel like
is
a strong way to live out here, not only in life in general, but especially out here, because there are a lot of people coming with negative attitudes or preconceived notions about you based on something that happened or that they heard about instead of just dealing with you in that moment.
There's a lot of rumors about the Big Bear. But
there's a lot of talk about that Ween sonogram picture. That's
I pack heat in my pants. But a lot. That's the funniest thing about LA is they'll see all these like reality shows or Kardashians, all this shit, and they'll come out here and they'll try and like kiss ass and like be with famous people and shit. Every break I've ever gotten has been from being friends with someone that wasn't successful when we became friends.
Yeah,
right.
And it's like if people were just normal people, they will always do well. It's like just be normal, like be fucking nice.
Yeah.
It's just don't be a dick.
Yeah. You know what I think is kind of crazy, too, is that you're about to you did all those songs, those jingles for The Tonight Show with Leno, which was awesome.
Thanks.
Which I feel like is such a big thing that you did it's probably to you is maybe, I don't know, where it is on the chart of, like, credits or what you, like, it's not like you are brought up to it anymore, but, like.
Yeah.
Is that a pretty special?
It was special just because Jay is such a legend.
Juggernaut.
I mean, the funniest thing about Jay that makes me laugh so hard is all the hipsters. That's why I have such a resentment towards some of these people is they make fun of him so much. They're like, oh, he's a sellout, hack, all this shit. And like,
there's also
Jay Leno.
There's almost no one in this business that works harder than Jay Leno.
Oh, dude. And who's funnier?
The Vaughn, you got to.
I was talking to Vince about that where he was like, Jay just won the game. He's like, Jay just. And I've always thought the same thing where Vince was like, if you ask anybody from back in the day, they were like, no one could fucking follow Leno.
I was just going to say.
Letterman's even said that.
Yeah.
That like Leno would kill so hard that people would be like, I can't go on now.
Yeah. You forget that you don't just get the job taking over for Carson because you're a fucking you're good at interviewing people.
Yeah. And then the game became being a really good late night host. It's not about being the funniest guy in the room. Like, look at Johnny Carson. It's about self-deprecation, jokes that everyone likes.
Yep.
And your guest allowing is more someone else to be allowing someone else to be funnier than
it's your guest show, not yours. And it's like
he's helping to sell a product. He's on there. He does his job. He punches in. He punches out. He doesn't try to steal from the or make it about him. He'll let them promote what they're there to promote.
Yeah.
Dabble in a little bit when he needs to, and then hey.
Yeah, and that's why he's a billionaire. And it's like it's just so funny being like, Leno fucking sucks.
Right.
It's like, dude, what are you good at?
Yeah. But now what I find interesting about this whole thing is now Fallon's coming out. I guess he'll do it in New York, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Show. Yeah,
sure.
But I mean, I can't help but think you won't be on his show in
some
fashion.
Hung with him in a while, but I think he's going to do a great job. I mean, he's perfect for that shit.
So when you would open for him, could you see
I would actually headline. He opened for me, which is insane. Well, but I'll tell you why, though.
Well, because he was smart enough to see it, right? Because he was trying to get good at
He wanted to be guests. Because a lot of people make the mistake of headlining too early because they're famous.
Right.
I mean, Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, perfect example. Okay,
now he's never coming on the podcast. Thank you, Brad.
But and then you just kind of ruin a fan base as you develop. Now Charlie Murphy's much funnier than he was 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
But it took him fucking all that time.
Yeah.
So what Fallon did is he would do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25, and he would grow.
Mm-hmm.
We were together 6 weeks, and I would headline, and he would just be a surprise guest. So he would just get an authentic crowd, and he became a powerhouse.
Yeah, he would test stuff out. And to my comment, I've seen Charlie Murphy 3 weeks ago, and he killed it. He was
funny. No, you're absolutely right, though. I'm sure he would admit that.
Right, but he started at never doing stand-up before, and he started with, do an hour in front of the Chappelle show was so
big, he had to take advantage.
Yeah, he had to cash in. I mean,
yeah.
But what Fallon did was just so smart that he didn't, because if he sold Jimmy Fallon tickets, he would have sold out theaters, big theaters, when he was with me, and I was just doing clubs. But everyone who paid the ticket would have been like, fuck that guy.
Right.
And then they want it now. If you pay the ticket, you're like, wow, you're so funny and talented because he wrote the whole time.
Sure. Can you tell me about a story? Was it Nashville or something? Where like you guys. Well, I feel like you told me, like, did you do Nashville with him or something?
I didn't. I think that was that Brett Ernst?
No, I don't know. But like, oh, wait, where he popped in or something and did, no.
I think it might have been Brett.
Wait, so how would it work? So you would go up and then he would just, you'd be like, you after
before
your set?
Before me, he would go up.
And would the audience know that he was going to be there?
No, no idea. So it'd be a surprise.
Well, how great is that then for the audience?
It was insane because they're
not expecting it.
Yeah.
Fallon goes up to what you pointed out to be an honest audience.
Right.
One
exactly.
That's not just there to suck his dick.
Right.
And then he was on stage, kills it for 10 minutes. The audience is like, holy fuck, Jimmy Fallon stopped by.
Yeah, and they all love it. Everyone's night.
Right. And then you kill it after him.
Right.
And then you look great because they love Jimmy Fallon. They think Jimmy Fallon's funny as hell.
Exactly.
Then you follow him and do an hour crushing.
Right.
So now those fans become even bigger fans of you.
It was huge for me. And just interacting with Jimmy and just seeing just how normal and nice he is, I just really learned a lot from that. Like, because you learn along the way. Like, you don't know how these people are going to be,
sure.
You know? And then you just see, like, he'd be down to do sketches on stage. He's just I'm down guy. Like, if you're like, Jimmy, you want to fucking go to the moon? He's like, yeah, let's do it, man. Like, he's just down. And I just remember being like, God, I really hope that guy just keeps rising. And he never will stop. I mean, he's just the man.
Yeah, he's going to take over.
I feel like what you see is what you get when you're with him on TV.
And it's the same with Leno. I mean, Leno's just a great dude.
With the I'm down guy, you can definitely see that in you because I've seen you do sets of the Improv. And you're like, when you invite other comics on stage and you don't know what you guys are going to do.
Yeah, no, we're just living.
Yeah. You just go to the piano and start like, all right, let's
fuck around.
Yo, how about
real quick before we wrap this up, the dude at the Improv the other night with his foot on stage. I'd never seen anything like that.
What happened?
Before, if you even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's chat.
Just because it was brilliant the way you handled it. There was a dude who had his feet up on the stage.
I did some real Big Bear Alpha shit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, ooh. Totally. Like, because you're such a I want to say non-confrontational, but I feel like if
you cross me, it gets vicious.
Yeah,
but if you don't, it's fine.
If it's disrespectful, because we all have the option to when something's happening in the crowd. Like this happened to me in my last show in Vancouver this weekend. This guy, when I said, "Are there any Jews in the crowd?" A guy goes, "Nope, none over here." And he did a high Hitler, and dude, it derailed my show for about 15 minutes because I tried to act like it didn't bug me,
of course, but
it threw me off so much that I started getting into his head, and I go, man, and I was trying to make jokes about it, but it ended up being super uncomfortable. Anyway, I could have. And so looking back, I'm like, if that happens again, don't even acknowledge that.
Right, because just know he's a moron.
Yes.
And no one, like, he's not going to do the Heil Hitler sign, and then many members of the audience are going, well, I think this guy's got a point.
Well,
let's
a few others were like, I'm German, I'm on his side. Dude, it got fucking weird.
Seriously?
Yeah, dude.
What?
And I kept trying to make jokes at it, and then at one point.
In Canada?
Yeah, and then at one point I moved on, and then.
You're so nice.
I would have done a whole bit about, you're like, I thought I was in fucking Canada.
Right. Like,
well,
you
guys
supposed to be nice here.
I didn't leave it alone, so we like milked it for a little bit, and I would talk about things. I was like, did you go to other places and do that? I was like, your first time doing this? He goes, yeah, man. I go, what prompted that? And the girl next to him, I go, is this your girl? And he goes, yeah, second date. And I go, fucking, dude, 9 dates maybe pop that out.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to like milk
that's
it
good.
Or something. Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's
then,
solid.
But then I tried to move on, and at one point it just wasn't happening.
You should be like, I hope you're referencing the Roman centurions because they did the same fucking move. I hope it's not Mr.
See,
fucking
that's,
Parkinson's.
That's what my lack
of history. Hitler had Parkinson's and was nuts. Like, if you watch the show Boss with Kelsey Grammer, one of the best shows on TV.
I saw you tweet about that.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But when someone has a debilitating illness like Parkinson's and, you know, Hitler had brain problems.
Obviously.
Like, the dude is clearly a fucking loon. Like just melting down, making horrible calls.
Yeah.
They say he didn't even order the Holocaust. Like, it was all just implied. He probably couldn't even talk.
Implied?
Yeah, like it was called the Will of the Fuhrer was like one of the most destructive things in Germany, where it was like, I don't know if you guys know people that are just batshit crazy, but all their minions around them will just assume shit.
Really?
Well, that's one. I personally think he ordered it.
Right.
But
I love that you're saying order as if he was at some genocide cafe and there was a menu of like all these sorts of like terrible destructive things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'll take the Holocaust with a side of
avocados.
I'll have
to kill all the Jews. Soup.
Yeah. No, but he wasn't even capable of communication.
Pretty sure the Holocaust Cafe would be in Silver Lake.
43 to 45, he had almost no mental capacity. People
Holy
don't realize
shit.
That. He was so, like, his hands were like crazy. They had video of his hands violently shaking. Like, he was on meth.
What?
Swear to God. Like, just a complete mental breakdown. He had full-blown Parkinson's. Yeah.
Really?
Anyway,
so if Michael J. Fox was a proven meth addict and at his fullest blown out Parkinson's got
that is
out
not a quote. Like, that is not a quote I did.
Yo, but if he got out and was like, "Hey, we should fucking get rid of these Puerto Ricans," and everyone was like, "You got a point, fucking Marty McFly."
Yeah, go.
I don't care that you're on meth and Parkinson's.
Right, exactly. I think it's advanced over the years.
Yeah.
Over the last 70 years, I don't think meth is the go-to. But anyway, what happened at the improv the other night? The
guy had his feet on stage, and I want to say,
nice tangent.
I want to say real quick. So the guy had his feet on stage. Owen's doing a set. It's going great. But he's like, "Hey, man, you got your feet on stage. You're just real comfortable, whatever." Like, and then I think you asked him to remove his feet.
Yeah.
To which he said, he just said,
"No." He goes, "I can't fit my legs on the table." I go, "I'm 6'7". You're probably 6 feet max." Mm-hmm. I know for a fact he can. And he's just like slick haired. I'm guessing Persian, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And I go, "Dude, I'm going to start making fun of if you don't take your feet off the stage." And right. I'm just like, I start making fun of him. I'm like, "What do you do for a living? You know, do you sell Audis or whatever?" And he's like, "I'm a comedian."
Yeah.
And I go, "So you're a comedian. You should know better." Because you never want to just attack because that's it's vulnerable. It means you're weak, kind of.
So and the audience recognizes that. They're like, "Dude, that could have been me you're attacking."
Right. Yeah. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I go, "Listen, buddy. I'm going to give you an opportunity of a lifetime. You can do 2 minutes on a packed, sold-out show on at the Improv, which I'm sure you've never done before. Say whatever the fuck you want." He goes, "No, I'm not going to do it." I'm like, "Dude, rip me apart. Yeah. 8 Mile my ass."
Yeah.
I go, so
you can make me look like
You can
like
make
such
me
an
look
right
like
now.
Shit if you want. And
right.
He comes up and he goes, and he just grabs the mic, goes, "Give it up for this guy's penis." And then sat back down. I go, because you could kind of see my ween in my pants.
Mm-hmm.
I go, "Wait a minute, your only joke is that I have a big penis?" And so then I kept doing my show, and he still wouldn't remove his feet. And then I go to the piano, I'm doing my show, and then I finally go, you literally won't take your feet off the stage. I go, "I'm not a cruel man. I don't want to just attack you, but I want you to look in my eyes and know that the girl you're with right now would rather have sex with me."
Nice.
And the crowd just starts freaking out. Nice. Everyone's cheering. The crowd's
That's
like cheering.
That's a great line.
Yeah, because the girl starts giggling because it's a fact. I go,
right.
Because based on what I was talking earlier, I go, "Who do you think she'd rather have a child with? Like a petty moron that won't take his feet off the stage?"
Yeah, wants to
I'm like, how is that? How are you going to be a good father? Like, if you make it heavy, it's like so much funnier. You're
for sure.
How would you be a father and teach your kid that you can just do anything you want in public? I'm like, there's protocol. Mm-hmm. And I go, and then your only insult to me is about my fucking huge cock? I go, "I am great at my job. I'm killing right now." I go, "You're bad at your job, and you're a fucking loser." And I go, "And your girl would rather have me inside of her." And I go, and if you guys do have sex tonight, I want you to know that.
Right.
And I want you to look at me, and I want you to know that.
Yeah.
And the crowd just is flipping out. Close, and then at the end, I shake his hand and leave. Mm-hmm. But I shook his hand knowing that he knew that his girl would rather fuck me.
That it was true.
Yeah, and it's like if you're going to cross lines.
Also, that's a power move, dude. You got it. I even did that shit with the guy with the German guy. Towards the end of the show, I go, "Dude, I feel like we got off on the wrong foot." And I, because you got to like bring it back.
You got to be like, "Listen."
You don't have to. Some guys, I mean, there was a comic on the show who was telling me, he goes, "Dude, I would have laid into that guy, made it super fucking weird." I was like, but you're doing a show. Like, you got to keep that in mind.
You got to M&M it. If we can learn anything from 8 Mile, you have to be able to attack yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, at the end, it's so much more powerful to be like, "Well, we can still be friends."
Yes.
Right.
Because they're just annihilated. It's also, I'm just a big line in the sand guy. If I feel disrespected, it doesn't matter who it is. I will call them out.
That
for
was
it.
My question. Like, how much in your head during that were you like, "All right, man"? Like, I was with the guy, I could have avoided it. Like, you could have just been like, "All right, enough with the feet." Like, you could have moved on. But, like,
yeah, it was so aggressive. It's so aggressive to just not do what I asked that I had to acknowledge. I've had people like bachelorette parties talking, and I won't tear them apart. You know, they're silly drunk girls having a fun night. I'm not going to fucking do that. But if it's a guy who I ask him politely, like, "Don't have your foot on the stage," it gives a bad vibe. It shows everyone that it's a lounge, not a fucking live show.
Yeah.
And if he refuses to do it, that's aggressive to me. It's an act of intolerance.
Yeah,
and I'm like I have to be intolerant to it because it's an act of aggression. I was telling young comics, I'm like, for 20 minutes you have to be comfortable, or 60 if you're headlining, to be a dictator. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone crosses you, you have to show what happens to them, and if someone's good to you have to reward them.
Right, someone has to be made an example
of.
So, and I totally get that.
You lose control
exactly.
of the crowd.
And you are in control. It's just you and the microphone. So if you're letting...
You're a dictator.
Yeah, if you're letting the audience control everything in terms of like, oh, yeah, they can yell out and this person can talk. And then,
if Fidel Castro had someone's foot on the stage, he'd execute them.
Yeah.
Right.
But Castro would be like, well, now you're dead. Because it's like if you're one person...
So you're saying Fidel Castro has a killer 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. Fuck yeah, that dude.
By the way, I think.
By the way, can we all just applaud Castro for not dying? Yeah. Like he's been at this shit now for like 50 years.
It is pretty remarkable. I think we can also acknowledge who the guy with his feet on the stage at the Improv during your set was. And it's come full circle. It was Jaden Smith. And
it
that guy,
Smith.
You know, he's got...
By the way, that's a perfect example of someone who would not take his foot off the stage. He would give a philosophy about how we're all better if we just don't have rules. And I would just fucking punch his face in. Because we do need rules. Rules are important. And everyone shouldn't be an individual. We should work better with others.
Here's a rule. Follow Owen Benjamin on Twitter,
no
everyone.
Shit.
Wow. See
and
that
go
transition?
See him live.
See that transition?
No, that was great.
Genius.
That was
great. I like it.
You got a big tour?
Is this live right now?
Yeah.
No.
We're streaming
cool.
in Belgium,
streaming
Israel,
live?
And Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Oh, those are my markets.
No, this will come out next Monday.
Next Monday, yeah. Nice. So, where am I next Monday?
Yeah, promote where you're going to be.
Well, this week, yeah, wait a minute, next Monday? This week, Kansas City. Next week, Levity Live and on Long Island.
Oh, dude. Have you
done that? Nyack? No.
You're going to fucking love
week
it.
Week after, dude. I think I'm Pittsburgh Improv.
Fun
Pittsburgh
club.
Improv, yeah. And then,
love that club.
Syracuse Improv, Funny Bone.
Syracuse
and,
Funny Bone, the big mall.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. So,
oh, that's sweet.
Get your tickets now, because the Big Bear, when he comes in town, he sells tickets. It's been a long winter.
Oh, I love that. Owen
hey,
Benjamin
and the
is
New
on
Year's.
Twitter.
The New Year's. I'm going to be at New Year's with you.
Yeah,
the Orler.
Yeah, it's going to be
Seattle?
In Oh, yeah, New yeah. Year's. Bellevue. And the host is Gary Cannon.
Dude, I'm how.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's going to be an insane lineup.
That's an all-star show.
It's going to be all-star. And,
oh, that's great.
And the Big Bear is looking for honey, so if you have honey...
Yo, can I sing a song with you at some point?
Of course, yeah.
Whether it's the closer at midnight, but I feel like
I'll be something. On stage. Right. Except we won't let Gary. Fucking Gary Cannon, piece of shit. Such a fucking useless
He warms
animal.
Up Sullivan and Son, doesn't he?
Yeah, he tour. Yeah. He does our full tour with us, and he does our crowd warm up, and all he does is make fun of us the whole time. Like I'll be doing a scene with a live
Gary.
Audience, and he'll be like. Owen Benjamin, have any guys seen his hour special on Comedy Central? And before anyone can clap, he just goes, yeah, no one's seen it. He's just like, no one's seen it. You can get it for $2.99 at 7-Eleven. They're trying to get rid of the DVDs. Like, he's such a fucking piece
Do
of shit.
Do people love it?
Yeah, because then I always call him Chaz Bono.
He does look like Chaz Bono. Because
I'm like, you look like a lesbian, like a aggressive lesbian. And he's like, yeah, okay. Okay, I do. Like, it's just...
Okay, I do. Yeah.
And it's like punching water. He has no pride, so you can't hurt him. It's like punching water.
I love
it's like
Gary.
The war on drugs. It's unwinnable.
You're quick with the references and the analogies.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. You're an intelligent dude. And again, you got to go see Owen live. And, you know, we've... Everybody that's on here, I feel like we advocate that for. But there are... And I've told you this before after the Kentucky weekend, and same with Brad. But there's... You know, I've opened for a handful of people, but, like, few people will I watch... Watch the whole hour that I've already seen.
D'Elia brings heat, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, and just...
You
I've
guys
seen
are different heat,
bunch
man.
Of times.
You know, look at you guys' acts. I mean, you're much more cerebral and sure. and he's much more physical and
I think
act
he's
out.
Really funny. I'm a
he's
big fan of him.
Oh, he's unreal. But I'm just yeah. saying, like, you...
I want to get less cerebral. I want to be more D'Elia-like.
Yeah, but
I'm
it's...
Kind of in my brain.
Skinny?
Not my cock.
He's I feel like Jim Carrey-esque where there's like only one of him right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, he's going to explode. Mark my words, in 5 years, it's going to be fucking
movies,
nasty.
Yeah, movies, good night.
Nasty.
Yeah, he's going to be doing Dan Cook type tours. So your website is owenbenjamin.com?
Yeah, owenbenjamin.com. Join my mailing list. I'll send you a stick pic, stick figure picture of my wing.
You're going to say dick pics. Dick pics, stick pics. Yeah.
My dick takes a lot of selfies.
Have you sent one? Ever?
A dick pic in
yeah.
my life?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. It opens doors.
Jesus.
Wow.
Dude, my lady, when I'm on the road, she gets a lot of ween pics.
Wow. That's love.
Your dick can open doors?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I said that to Aziz Ansari once. He was doing this whole fucking joke about how dudes shouldn't send dick pics because mm-hmm. they're like animals. You know, he always attacks
yeah.
men that yeah. we're all fucking morons
right.
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And afterwards, I just remember being like, hey, man, a good dick pic can open a door. And he just stared at me and just walked away.
What?
Yeah, the dude is now... he never has talked to me when I've said hi or that he's funny.
And I'm that like, was a conversation. That's an icebreaker.
Yeah.
I thought that that was going to open doors. And he just looked... Because he's also really small.
Sure, sure, sure.
And he just looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? I thought we were going to have a big laugh about it.
Yeah, dude.
And he just looked at me like, not no, happening. It doesn't... I'm
see,
like,
next time, don't talk about the dick pic. Send him a dick pic.
If I just showed him a picture of my dick and I'm like, I think that tell me you don't, want, you don't want to fucking wake up to this,
tell
baby.
Me. I think that would have been the better move.
I wish I could put filters on it and shit. I do like the low red or lo-fi or maybe Walden.
Walden.
Or Inkwell. If I did an Inkwell one. Or what is it, Rise and Shine? Or makes it look really...
Amaro or what? Isn't that one?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. Yeah. I'd have to really check out which one made it look...
Mayfair
like from
is
the
my
early
favorite.
70s. Mayfair is a good one.
Mayfair is a good one.
Lofi might be the best
Lofi's
way to go.
Great. Yeah, it's low fidelity. I mean, it makes everything really pop. But
bam.
I think my dick is more of a Rise and Shine. Like when
there's timing on it, too. You don't want to send it too early, no?
Oh,
or
no.
Or do you send it at night? Is it a nightcap thing? Is it like Sweet Dreams? Sweet dreams rise and shine.
Well, if I can just tell my girl's getting a little misses me too much, I just will send a fucking ween pic. She really appreciates it.
Dude, that's a fucking special. Go, that's a special situation.
Bear,
yeah,
and then you just like put the text under it. Bear's coming home soon.
Yeah, big bear misses little bear.
Soon you're gonna make some Bernstein bears, huh?
Oh, I love kids, man. That's the next move. That's the next move for
the
big bear.
You're gonna have giant children.
The kids are going to fucking... Dude, they're good.
Hey, dude, if I have a son and he doesn't have a monster cock, I'm sending him back.
So when he comes out, just put him back in the womb?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, buddy, what do you call that fucking thing?
Do not send me a picture of that, ever.
By the way, for the record, I don't have like a... I just think monster cock is a fucking hilarious way to... If you just keep referencing your monster cock, it just makes me laugh so fucking hard.
I think it's good, man.
It's pretty funny.
It is because you know the people that are out there, by the way, who actually are in full seriousness being like, yeah, it's like a... It's pretty much a monster down there.
Oh, dude, I've met dudes like that. I think I shaped that whole joke around... Oh, another thing that I can't do anymore is I used to always do a joke that I'm rich as shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd buy people drinks. I'm like, I'm fucking rich as shit. And it was because I was so poor. It was a joke.
Right.
And now that I'm doing well, people look at me like I'm such an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta adjust that.
It used to be my favorite joke. I'd be like, no, drinks on me. They're like, nah. I'm like, I'm fucking rich as shit.
Yeah, but you're still very affable when you say it now. I've seen
Vince do it and be very lovable. Because that's the problem. Right now I'm in a place where it's not funny.
Right.
If I was super rich, it's
then it's funny
again.
Yeah.
Like one time I was playing blackjack and Vince gave me like $500 to keep playing. I'm like, dude, I don't want to take your money. He's like, I'm so fucking rich. And I was like, that's the funniest thing. It's just so honest.
Right.
And he's right. He's like, I just want to keep hanging with my friends. I make so much money.
He wants you to have a good time.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Have you developed a decent Vince impression from being around him so long? Or at least his cadence, right?
Yeah, no, I can do it, but I'm not.
I'm not going to ask you to do it. I'm just asking if you do one.
I mean, I could do it. I just don't want to.
I'm not setting you up for it right now.
I could do it. I don't choose
to. The podcast does not fucking, it's not hanging the balance on you doing events, but I did tell our listeners.
I got a text from Brad earlier that said if you don't do events, you're not on.
Well, he was not supposed to send that.
Why are you exposing our secrets?
And it had a picture of your ween. Let's just say I'm impressed.
Oh, my God. Well, if you want to see Adam Ray's ween, go see him live. Where are you going to be, Adam?
Oh, I'm going to be at the Tacoma Comedy Club November 21st to the 23rd St. Louis Funny Bone November 1st through the 3rd. And Laughs Comedy Spot in Bloomington, Illinois.
Oh, you're a road guy right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Since the movie came out, I haven't stopped.
I haven't stopped either. I've been on the road every single week.
I'm kind of loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now. But and you're doing it off of a TV show. I mean, I'm just writing the movie until it stops.
Well, the movie never stops. That's the thing. Like TV, like even right now, I'm getting less love than I did 2 months ago. Because TV is like weird. Like people forget quick. Movies, they never forget. Like once the heat starts going on cable, it never ends.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's like I'm regurgitated.
I didn't get love from House Bunny till it went on TV.
Oh,
it made $50 million too, and no one gave a shit.
And then, like once people start seeing it on TBS,
it's on Comedy Central and TBS every fucking week
right
now.
Yeah, it's huge.
There you go. And then go see me, Brad Williams, November 8th through the 9th at Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego, California.
Great club. One of my favorites.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. And then my favorite club in the country, November 14th through the 17th, I'll be at the Comedy Works in downtown Denver.
That place is fucking awesome.
Yeah, love it. And then November 21st through the 24th, the Funny Bone in lovely Richmond, Virginia.
That's a good one, too. I like it. They're all fun. I did New Year's there last year.
Follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Ray TV. Adam Ray Comedy. Jesus, how long have I known you?
I don't know, man.
Oh, my God. Should we fight now?
I follow Adam Ray Drama. He's a little more real.
Wow.
Follow Adam Ray Drama. Comedy.
That's just a guy who looks like me who does Johnny Drama impressions.
Yeah, super intense.
I fucking love Entourage, dude.
No, he has a one-man show called AIDS.
That was the one song Owen and I wrote that you did for a few times.
Oh, it
the
was
worst
the,
doctor in the world.
No, it was called the most insensitive eye doctor in the world. It went, you got 20/20 vision and AIDS.
Dude, I thought that was so, and you did
it
twice.
I still do it sometimes. Do you? Yeah. Right,
oh, it's a great bit. I'm laughing.
You got 20/20 vision and AIDS.
Yeah.
And then you sometimes, if they were way into it, you do it again, but a little more fuck it. Dude.
Yeah.
All right, that's got to come out on New Year's.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'll come out.
Bring back that one. So go see Owen Benjamin live. Follow him on Twitter. Follow Adam on Twitter.
Get his hour special.
Get his hour special.
My hour special's out on Comedy Central Direct. Whatever the fuck that means.
Whatever the fuck that is.
It's only $5. But I get half of it.
iTunes, Netflix.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea what I get. iTunes. I'm on iTunes, too. High five till it hurts.
Perfect.
There you go.
You won't be disappointed.
So on behalf of Owen Benjamin, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Peace.
Check out Owen's Ween on Twitter.
Ween. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.